And the parents that said that they had, she had the white coffin, and they drew on it. They drew all over it with Sharpie markers and shit. Mm-hmm. And the interview with Anderson Cooper.
Yeah. He didn't have the green screen thing in his interview. Remember? The nose.
Yeah.
No big deal though. He just said he's at Sandy Hook, but he's really in front of a green screen.
Yeah, that's no big deal. It's like that. They all do that, right? That's some of the. When you start putting all that stuff together, it's so profound though. Like all the actor parent, the bad acting and stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And when you see these videos that people will do, where they just kind of, it's not a lot of commentary, and it's just where they take that footage and they kind of just string it back to back, like the smiling, laughing parents. Like when you see it back to back, it's really profound. It's like, holy crap, man.
Yeah, I'm going to drop a few links in there for the people, because we did that media fakery special, and I focused a lot, not just on the fake videos, but on those stage witnesses, and I got a couple with the people just laughing and not playing their part real good. I'll throw a couple in the, I got that Batman one for anybody that wants to see that. I'll throw that in first. This is from the Aurora, Colorado Batman shootings. This guy supposedly seen however many people murdered in the movie theater, and all he keeps doing is talking about how great and excited he was to see the movie and how awesome the movie was. Like, it's so over the top ridiculous.
Yeah. It was like, yeah. He made sure that he put in the plug for the movie.
Like a whole bunch of times he put it in. I got the Koopa, Anderson Koopa green screen that we just talked about. I'll throw that in. That's a short video.
It's like he's acting, and then he's like, he knows he needs to put a plug in there for the movie, and he just kind of like, he really goes over it, like five, six times. He really kind of just, crapped the bed on that one where he just went completely way over the top with it. And,
And then I got the Danny from Stereo. Remember that one I showed you?
Yeah, I've seen that one. You got to put all those on your YouTubes?
Yeah, I actually just set up a new YouTube channel because mine was too unorganized and there's too many videos that are like personal. Not like private, but just personal, don't have to do with news and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't want to have to reorganize everything, so I just set up a new YouTube under the website's name, under The Real News Online, and then I uploaded some videos to it. So it's nice and organized now. I got a new channel. I'll drop it in the link in the thing for you. Let me grab it. For anybody else that wants to, if you can, if you are a subscriber, subscribe to it. It's the Brian Stavely one, really, anymore. Just from messing around, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Did you put a link to it in the chat, you said?
Well, in 1 second, I'm logging in. I'm almost there. Yeah, if you can, subscribe to it, because I need to get all my people back.
So you took out all the personal videos of you, cleaning out your shower trap and all that?
Yeah, well, I started from scratch, so I didn't have to take out personal videos.
Yeah, I have the link to it.
There you go. You can subscribe to that, Chris.
Dislodging a hairball from your pet house cat. Those videos. Okay, why is it not popping up in the chat? What's going on here? What the hell is going on with this? I never had this happen before.
It's not coming up for you? I'm seeing it.
No, it does not come up. I don't know why.
I'm going to give it to you in Skype so you have it, definitely. Yeah, that's my channel.
Okay. All right, yeah, I got that. All right, good deal.
Thanks.
The real news.
Yeah, I want to have an organized YouTube channel because I want people to, when they look at it, to not see videos that I don't agree with. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. I can't have that. So I built one from scratch. Because the other one had a lot of old, outdated videos that maybe were theories I latched onto in the beginning or whatever. So I started a new channel, and then I linked it up to my Twitter account. So I'm going to try and be more active with both. I never really used Twitter, but now I got it. So anytime I put a video on a playlist, it'll automatically tweet it out so people can go see it. I don't really have to even go through the process.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And then, I'm going to try and just be a little more active on YouTube. Just use my channel a little more, you know?
Yeah, I see why you did this, because I got a crap ton of videos that mm-hmm. are like that, like you just got through saying, where I don't necessarily like.
Exactly. It'd be such a hassle to remove them all. I'm like, you know what? And it's easy to take your videos from your other account. So I just created a new one, The Real News Online. I went to the Brian Stavely page. If I want to grab the video, I just play it and then hit add to my playlist. But you can actually just grab a whole playlist, too, in one click. You can grab a whole playlist. It's like my Alex Jones playlist. I know I needed every video on there. There was nothing I'm going back about. It was the one I used to expose them, kind of.
Yeah.
So I just grab that whole playlist and put it on the Real News Online account. But other ones like No Planes and stuff like that, there's certain ones that I don't agree with and whatever. So I had to individually put them on different playlists. And I organized my 9/11 stuff more. So there's 9/11 planes, there's 9/11 other fakery, there's 9/11 claps for it. You know what I mean? Like, I get different stuff. I got a section just for documentaries. Like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I need to do something with my YouTube account, but it's just... completely.
Mine sucks. It was
haywire.
What do you call it? It was obsolete for years, you know? I never get any hits on it. I mean, I get a few hundred here and there. Like, I don't get thousands of hits like I think this material deserves. The website and my blogs get way, tons of hits, but these, the radio shows, but the YouTube, nothing. And I know this YouTube audience out there is crazy, so I just gotta get it going somehow. So this is what I'm trying to do. Be more organized about it, promote it more. I set up a Google Plus page that's integrated with it, too, so anytime I post a video or comment on YouTube that goes up on the Google Plus page, I got a different one. I'll send you that, too, so you can follow it, because it's not the one that you're already following.
A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. Award-winning filmmaker Bart Sibrel presents the highly acclaimed and much-hated controversial documentary showcasing newly discovered behind-the-scenes outtakes from... Oh, I can't keep reading it. What's wrong?
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a classic. I mean, come on. Even if you don't think that he's real, I do. I tend to think that guy's pretty legit. He comes across.
Oh, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's real.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem telling people about that. Can I give you my Google page, Chris?
You want go ahead.
Add me to your circles, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm... LinkedIn.
No, you were following my one that was under my name. I set a new one up when I set the new YouTube up. I just set it up this morning.
Okay. Yeah, because if Neil Armstrong there is acting, or Buzz Aldrin, I mean, he's the best actor ever.
Oh, when he punches him?
Yeah. He's like so pissed, man. You could just tell. You could feel it, how pissed he is. Well, he punches a guy in the face.
That was awesome.
I loved
looking into the moon hoax. I had fun with that because that was after looking into 9/11 and then, realizing 9/11 was, most likely totally a hoax. I wasn't totally sure yet, but I was almost there. And then I started to look into the moon, and it was just such a relief, because not talking about people dying and all this stress. It's just the moon. It's just a big lie. And then you look into it, and you have an eye for these things because you've been looking at the 9/11 stuff, and the moon stuff is just so glaring. It's just so obvious. You really don't even have to spend months and years on it like 9/11. I mean, I wouldn't be irresponsible and say I was sure after a couple of days. But honestly, after a week, I was really sure. But I kept looking. But, I mean, really just 3 or 4 good, solid, long days looking into it. And it's just, you can see it's total bullshit.
Yeah, that's correct. It is absolute total bullshit. I mean, it's dated. And I think too, man, it's something too that's catching on with a lot of people, since they can see all this stuff on YouTube now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a thing in and of itself, like the whole moon hoax thing. I think it's really that's something that's really caught on.
Yeah.
And I get the impression it's making the people at the predatory ruling class or whatever you want to call them, making them kind of a little bit nervous, I think, because of when was it Buzz Aldrin died, right? Recently?
Yes,
or was it Neil Armstrong, one of those guys?
I think it was Buzz Aldrin, I think.
And yeah, they kept that, I mean, really quiet for somebody of that kind of stature, they really kept his death really low key. I mean, really noticeably low-key. And I thought, Yeah, they really don't want a lot of people's attention on the old moon stuff. They really want people's attention. If they're interested at all in any NASA shit, they want their attention on all this new bullcrap that they're doing now in the Mojave Desert, saying the Mojave, changing the Mojave Desert into Mars. You know, completely.
What, making it like a stage for Mars, totally? Is that what you mean?
Well, they're taking pictures of the Mojave Desert and they're saying it's Mars.
Yeah.
That's their latest scam.
I've always assumed that was a desert shots. I didn't know specifically where. Do you have a reason to specifically think it's the Mojave?
Well, I got this. Let me give you this article. You might have this one, but if you don't have it, you need it. Well, shit. What did I do with it? Let's see. Here it is. Good old Evernote. Did you download and install Evernote?
Yes, I did.
You like it, I bet, huh?
I haven't poked around with it enough yet.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Very interesting, but I am not functional in it yet. I only used it for about 5 or 10 minutes, but I did install it on 2 computers and my phone, so I'm going to be using it. Because I like the idea. It's totally what I need, dude. Totally what I need.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. It's just so I'm so unorganized and I lose things and if videos get taken down or I forget links all the time or just if I want to present a case to somebody, it's just boom, I'll have it all there ready to go, you know?
Yeah, I just gave you that link, right? NASA found filming August Martin's landing in California desert. So, yeah, but it's just a rehearsal for the real one, insists Rover Boffins.
Didn't get a link from you.
Oh, it's not showing up. Well, what do you know?
If you throw it in the Skype, I'll throw it in the chat for you because mine seems to show up.
What the fuck is going on?
Chris,
with
drop it in the Skype and I'll drop it in the chat for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to, man. I'm really trying.
Oh, okay. My bad.
And this is not happening either for some reason.
Is your computer slowing down on you or something? What's going on?
No, I'm looking at it, right? And it's got shit down into the place where I'm. Nah. Okay, did you get it?
Yeah, it's just fucked up.
Okay. It's haywire too. I don't know. It's bothering me. Alright, yeah.
There's Chris's link, guys, in the chat. In the chat now. It popped in.
Yeah, so they're telling you they're in the Mojave Desert. I mean,
unbelievable. That covers their ass, too, if they ever get caught by somebody filming in the desert. Well, we told you we were filming out here. We're setting up.
Yeah.
We're filming scenarios to test them. To be
yeah,
caught.
It's a drill, right?
We're not making the actual footage. We're just, it's a drill.
Yeah.
The conditions are ideal to test our astronauts, and we have to document it with these video cameras, you know?
Of course. Yeah, never mind the little ground squirrel on the... in the photos that we're trying to tell you that, you know, it's actually Mars.
Stuff and expensive equipment made out of paper mache and construction paper and aluminum foil and like sitting on the moon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they use the very best aluminum foil money can buy to make the Mars lander.
It sure do.
Yeah, they don't cut any corners. That scale model of the moon is pretty impressive, though. But, you know... They admit that that's in a studio in Burbank, and they showed it. I saw that deal where they showed it. It's like, okay, that, wow, looks exactly like the moon. Oh, it's an exact replica scale model? Oh, what did you build that for? Oh, training, of course. No, we didn't use this to, like, spoof any footage or anything. Like, why would you think that?
Yeah, no, we wouldn't do that.
No. But we had, for training, though, you have to make it, like, that over-the-top detailed. Oh, yeah, you want to make it as realistic as possible, right? Just like, you know, Bauman's bone jutting out of his leg, you know.
Oh, just.
That's how you feel.
Yeah. Jeffrey?
It's got to be real so that everybody can respond to the drill properly.
Hey, that's your boy.
Bomb man. Do I have to say that? Do I have to spell it out? Oh, we got a caller on the line.
Oh, throw him on.
Let's see. Southern California. Uh-oh. S California. That's Southern California, I take it. Yeah. Trying to unmute him, but it keeps going muted. So if you, Southern California, if you've called in to talk, hit *8, and it'll give a little pop-up above your icon so I'll know that you want to come on. The connection to the server is lost. Click OK. Attempt to reconnect. Yeah, I got just...
He's disabled in the chat, so I think he's trying to get into the dial-in.
Yeah, I got all kinds. Okay, here we go. I got all kinds of stuff going on with this TalkShoe chat window thing. It's just really...
On the fritz tonight?
Yeah, it's really acting...
I'm going to excuse myself for a minute. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Am I,
right back.
Am I unmuted right now?
Yes, I hear you now.
This is the ground. This is the ground squirrel from Mars.
Oh, this is a bee ground squirrel at Mars.
Yeah.
So
I'm calling. I'm calling from the. I'm actually calling from the face on Mars.
That's awesome. I was wondering when you would call in. That's great.
Yeah, Richard C. Hoagland told me to call you guys.
Yeah, how is Richard C. Hoagland doing, by the way?
Oh well, He called me. He's down in Hollow Earth right now.
Oh, really? Vacationing?
Yeah.
Great. I mean, you wonder where these guys go when they're not on all over.
Well, he's going on expeditions to the North Pole. That's him, right? That's the guy?
Richard C. Hoagland?
Is he the Hollow Earth guy? Or Agnew is the Hollow Earth guy, right?
Richard Hoagland's the face on Mars guy.
Yeah.
Okay, Brooks Agnew or something like that. He's the guy that thinks the Earth's hollow and there's people living under it. And he goes on expeditions to the North Pole or something to try and find the entrance.
Admiral Byrd?
Yeah, he's another one from before. This other guy's current. Admiral Byrd was the guy supposedly like back in the Nazi days or whatever.
So there's a guy now that's going down there to go?
Yeah. He was doing radio shows a couple of years ago trying to get people to sign up for expeditions to go to the North Pole to look for the
Earth. Is that the one where they actually show the video like going into the Earth?
His didn't show any video. He was just talking for hours. I mean, I haven't seen video.
No, there's this one my brother showed me one time where it's like my brother showed me like, hey, what do you think about this? Does this look real to you? And it was this video of like this Google Zoom down into the hollow Earth.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. They show that. Yeah, they show that everywhere. They show the satellite view of this like hole in the poles, right?
Yeah, and it looks like Jurassic Park under the Earth.
Yeah, like they think you can. They had this guy was showing a thing of it today, and he goes, "Okay, so you zoom in with the Google Earth. He goes zoom into this part of the water right here, and you zoom into the water, and then he had you hit Street View. Like they actually had a camera down there to give you a view of what's underneath the water. Like, what is this guy thinking, dude?"
Yeah, Google Street View down there. Wow.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. So he was basing his entrance to Hollow Earth off of what he saw on Google Street View underneath the water in Antarctica. Pretty crazy.
There's plenty of nutty stuff. Yeah, I would if I knew about that guy, I would definitely have kept checking in on him, see how his progress is making to the Hollow Earth. I didn't know nothing about it though.
You know, at the Chris, I still gotta mail you this program from the NASA, Cape Canaveral.
Okay.
Right. And it's if you go there, they've got a lunar module like on display, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like one of the ones they allegedly used.
Yeah, and then it's to make it look like bigger than it is. They've actually got like midget-sized astronauts. Have you ever seen that?
No, I mean, like, live people in astronaut suits that are midgets?
No, 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 like dummies that are dressed
dummies
up like
that are midgets.
Yeah, they're dummies that are midgets, like, but it shows them, like, you know, getting off of the staircase onto the moon, like, surface.
Uh-huh.
Right, but they're midgets to make the module look a lot larger than it actually was, like... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
So they got like a replica scale size of the lander or the module or whatever, and then they put the dummy to the people small, so it looks like they could easily get in there and stuff.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. It's like that whole thing, like the whole tour of Cape Canaveral, is literally. It's literally designed for 5-year-olds. But if you see the program from it, it's, you know, it's all adults and they're all like starry eyed, like, wow. And it's just like the most ludicrous stuff you've ever seen. It's from the '80s. So, I mean, I'm sure it's even worse now, but,
I was riding back with my brother. He was moving from California to Arkansas, and I rode back with him out here to Oklahoma. And then on the way back, we stopped. I think it was in Nevada, and they had this like crater hole, and they had these like this museum there and all that. And like according to the stuff that was in this museum, they did. Training for the moon missions there. And they had all this horse shit in there and stuff. And they had, there wasn't a lot of stuff though. It's kind of like scant as far as like moon stuff. But they did have like a module, the capsule sitting outside. And it said like it was a replica of the capsule. And it was just made out of like, I guess, metal and.
Made out of the same sheet materials the actual thing's made out of, probably.
Yeah, it was really. I mean,
at the mall down the street, there's a satellite.
Like a
a functioning one.
What's
a functioning
that?
Satellite?
Does it function, or it's just for decoration?
No, it's supposedly it's just sitting in the middle of the mall, and it says, you know. This was some, you know, one of the satellites, you know, used at whatever time period, and it's just sitting there in the middle of the mall on display. That's what happens to, you know, $100 million pieces of equipment. They just end up being in the middle of the mall and.
I hear where you're going with this.
What? How do they get it back down from outer space?
Well, the point is, if it was worth that much money, it would never be sitting in a mall.
Yeah, because the well, I guess you could maybe make the case that all the good metal and stuff was stripped out of it first, and they just put the hull as a display.
I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, but I mean, what else?
Sorry, Chris, what were you saying about pulling it out of space? How they get it down?
But yeah, that's what I want to know is how they get it down from outer space.
Well, after they were done visiting Hollow Earth, they called the guy that towed the moon into place.
Yeah.
The satellites. Yeah.
That was after they...
You ever hear that one?
Yeah, after they completed construction on the Death Star.
Yeah. I don't know, how would they get a satellite down? I mean, have they ever talked about the procedure of bringing them back?
I don't know. Isn't there satellites at, like, the Smithsonian and stuff?
I don't remember ever seeing a satellite.
No.
Did it look real, John? Did you were you able to get close to it and inspect it?
Yeah, there's just like one of them ropes, like, you know, when you go to the movie theater around it.
Oh right, yeah. Right, really? Oh.
Well, just like hanging, dangling above you.
No, it's like on the ground on like a. like a display, you know, like a little.
Oh, ropes. You mean like roped off?
Yes, roped off.
Like hanging from a rope. I get you. Okay.
Yeah, just sitting there for everybody to go up and.
Go up and touch the $300 million satellite.
Tag their name on it.
Yeah, from what I understand, that if they put a satellite up in space, it ain't coming back. It's, you know, it burns up.
So they don't care about polluting it because space is just infinite? Is that how they look at it?
Well, I guess it'd be, like, impractical to take them down. Like, how the hell would they get them down?
Yeah, I don't know.
They let them burn up. I mean, because if it burns up in the atmosphere is what they say. That's what I've heard. I've never heard of them going up there and getting one, unless they say they got it in the space shuttle somehow or some.
Or if they say somebody was spying on us or something, they might say they shot one down to make us think they have these great long range missiles that go into outer space.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll go back there one day and read what it exactly was.
Because they're not supposed to be able to get them back. I mean, they're gone for good, from what I understand. I mean, as far as, but you know, none of that is believable. I mean, you can't believe any of it.
None of it's credible.
It doesn't really matter. It's not. Yeah, they don't have, like, they have absolutely zero credibility as far as I'm concerned. There's squirrels on Mars, so that's that.
Yeah. You know, the other day I listened to all my Hoax Busters calls.
All
for the week, you know, my uh-huh. call,
yeah.
the Monday call and the Marcus call. So I was out with stuff to listen to, and I noticed, like, when I first started listening to Hoax Busters, you know, like a year or so ago. I wasn't able to go back and, like, listen to old episodes. Like, they were dead. I don't know, they were dead.
What were you using?
iPod.
They're not loading into the iTunes thing?
No, now they do.
Oh, okay.
This was a year ago.
All right.
And so I didn't even know you did a call with Chris White.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was the ancient
Chris
alien
White.
Debunk guy.
Yeah, he's done some real good videos. But he's like a Christian guy that he's like a lot of his stuff is, you know, deals with Bible and stuff along that lines. He's made a lot of good videos so.
But
Ancient Alien was a better one I've done.
Yeah, the Ancient Aliens Debunked.
Yeah, yeah. Ancient Aliens Debunked.
See, you brought up a really good point with him. And I noticed this is kind of when he started to get frustrated during the call, even when, you know, like Marcus was asking him questions and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
But he kind of started to get frustrated when you were bringing up the idea that scholarship in itself is null and void.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but see, how could you not question scholarship? I mean, not just Bible scholarship, but just, I mean, think about
in
it. Like,
general,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're talking right now. You're talking about NASA and all that type of stuff. Why wouldn't you question that?
I think you have to. I mean, they took the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Allegedly, they were found in a cave, right? You know, some little teenage boy was roaming around throwing rocks and just so happened to hit a pot in this cave. And then, there's all these manuscripts that have been here for umpteen hundreds of years, and like, we're supposed to believe this was the, you know, first boy that's been exploring in that particular area for hundreds of years. That, you know, because that's Like they don't have all the television and shit down there. It's like the kid. That's what kids do. They play and explore and
stuff
like that. It's not going to go unnoticed for that long.
Yeah, that was another thing that that was interesting too. Is when you brought that up. Like, well, why wouldn't they just fake the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yeah, but then I mean, I think to be more precise on that question is like, is that something that is in the realm of possibility? Like, could there be manuscripts that are just fabricated and
of course.
To give, yeah, and then you know, they can do something, and then you know, of course, that was taken and put into a Rockefeller owned and controlled museum, and then be curated over. Presided over by you know, the appropriate handpicked university scholars that are going to give all their, you know, opinions on it and stuff like that. So it's this very kind of very elite group that's specialized that kind of analyzes this stuff, and then that's what their word on it is, what everybody gets on it and all that. You know, it's like very highly controlled. And then, you know, Rockefeller's got his greasy mitts all over it. And then how do you trust that? And then the story of how they found him doesn't even jive. It doesn't make any sense. Some kid found him. Oh, that's the first time a kid's been there throwing rocks. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's like the Ebola shit. Oh, that's the first time Ebola has appeared here. This still happens to come at the time when... it's in the news.
You know, earlier in the day, remember we were talking about AIDS a little bit?
Uh-huh.
And you remember that book by Len Horowitz?
AIDS,
Ebola, and emerging viruses.
Yep. Yep, I read that book.
Yeah, I figured you did. Now, yep. He's a total shill. I got a theory for you guys. Okay, this is what I wanted to when you brought up Ebola like two calls ago. I said I had something I was thinking about. Well, see, AIDS is fake, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Up one side, down the other. It's totally fake. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
HIV is real, but not AIDS. Okay. Nobody even knows if there's any like deadly symptoms for HIV. I don't even think there is. I think there is symptoms, but I don't think they're deadly.
But you definitely can test positive for AIDS.
Yeah, HIV, but not AIDS.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything as far as...
No, here's what it means. You test positive for HIV, and then you get the flu, and then your doctor says you have AIDS.
Uh-huh. And then you go on the regimen, which knocks
your
dick in the dirt. Yeah.
It's genius. It really is a genius idea.
That's totally convincing to me.
Yeah, and then... And
that
then,
whole explanation,
so,
yeah.
And then I think Ebola is probably... like similar.
Same thing with the Ebola deal. Yeah.
I've never seen anybody bleeding out of all of their orifices.
Yeah, I've heard this with this Ebola thing recently. Somebody brought this up, and I've heard this before. It's like when you see something like that and those symptoms and the stuff like they describe with Ebola, you're describing something that's more than likely chemical. And that a lot of this stuff is being passed off as viral is actually chemical.
Yeah.
And it's some kind of a chemical exposure. Now, where people are getting it, I don't know. And then how are they distributing it out of the population? It could be any number of ways. I mean, a few minutes ago, I just drank something that I got from I don't know what the hell, where this, I'm drinking coffee, but I don't know where it came from. We do this all the time. We put shit in our mouth and we have no clue where it came from.
We'll have a cut.
Yeah,
of
that's
this
scaremongering
too.
Sounding, but I don't know. Like how do you?
Well, you remember?
True.
See, in that book, it talks about how all the Hep V or the Hep B virus, you know, vaccines all came out of Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then uh-huh. and then they gave them all to the homos in Fire Island, right? And then all those guys died, right?
I remember
yeah.
that story, yeah.
It's been a long time since I read that book, but
yeah. Now,
now
here's the thing. Everybody know just like the article I sent you, Chris, about, you know, the anti-vaxxer Time magazine article.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, anybody in the right mind knows that vaccines are an immune destroyer. Okay?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's all these guys who live a decadent lifestyle, right? You know, drugs.
Homos that are in the gay party homo scene, right?
Yeah, drugs and sex all every night of the week, all night long, right?
Uh-huh.
So they're already leading a decadent lifestyle that is destroying their immune system, and then you give them a hepatitis B vaccine that further destroys their immune system. But see, the way that book makes it sound, it's total fear-mongering, you know. It's total fear-mongering, you know, like, oh, the government created a secret, you know, AIDS is something that can get passed from person to person, and it's a, you know, like this secret virus that the government created. You know, that's all
mm-hmm.
that's all BS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's total BS. But what is true is that if you give somebody an immune-destroying vaccine, then, and they lead a decadent lifestyle already, then they're going to show all of the symptoms of what we have been told is AIDS.
Yeah, which is, they say it's immunodeficiency virus, that acquired immune deficiency, what does the AIDS stand for?
Yeah, acquired
something
immune
like
deficiency
that.
Syndrome.
Syndrome?
Yeah.
And, which, what is that telling you? It's just, what are the symptoms? Oh, your immune system is shot. No evidence, you know, that's what they're telling you. That's all they're telling you. And that's the only evidence that you see of it is like somebody whose immunity is shot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fake. Fully made up.
I think so, yeah. I think a lot of this stuff is... I think maybe, because I've thought this for a long time, you know, I've read those books, I've listened to all that horse shit coming out from, what's his name, and that's been a while ago, Horowitz, yeah. And
I can't believe he's not making the rounds right now.
He probably is, or preparing to, I imagine. It's hard to imagine that he wouldn't, but I kind of get the impression that this whole concept that a virus can be unleashed into the population and spread and keep spreading and wipe out like hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, we've been told this over and over and over, and I think I've come to the conclusion where I really now at this point, I don't even think that is a physical possibility. I think it is to a degree. I think that you can have like something get out into the population and spread, but I think what will always happen, and I don't think they could, if they wanted to, get around what's, you know, just... it's going to have its natural boundaries. Yeah, it's going to die out. It's going to go through. I think after it goes through, it's like, you know, you've had the flu before, right? Where it's like it's you barely have any symptoms and you get over it in a couple of days. But you know you had the flu, right? Yeah. Have you ever had that? And then other times, like, somebody might get the flu and it's like, shit, they can't get out of bed for like 5 days. And so there's different varying degrees of it. But I think what happens could be totally engineered.
That's also because you know, just because your body responds with flu symptoms, that doesn't mean you've gotten the same thing every single time. You know, those are just your body responding with flu symptoms is just the way your body responds when something bad has gotten into you, right?
Yeah, everything is flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, here's a perfect example. Like one time, my wife and I accidentally ate some sourdough bread that wasn't cooked all the way.
Uh huh.
And we got violently ill. Like we probably almost died.
Oh. Wow.
But it was like having a crazy flu. But what it really was is eating the uncooked yeast.
Okay.
So it was like yeast poisoning. Okay.
Uh huh.
But it was like just if you were to eat raw yeast, you'd, you know, have some problems.
Uh-huh. So don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. But it was like having a severe case of the flu. But it was just, mm-hmm. and so no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, you get something passed on to you from somebody at work or at school or whatever, it's all sorts of different stuff. It's never like the same exact thing. You know what I'm saying? But your body responds in the same way to whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, you get fever, and the fever, from what I understand, is like your body's response. It's heating itself up because the virus doesn't like the heat, and it'll actually kill or disable the virus. And it's trying to help you sweat it out. That's why you feed a fever, starve a cold and feed a fever. You feed the fever. You want to cover up and stuff and go ahead and get hot, you know. You want to get hot.
Did you say starve a goat, feed a beaver?
No, that's another show. I said Yeah, that's another. That's a whole other topic, dude.
All right. I got to go to bed. I just wanted to call in and say what's up.
Yeah, yeah, cool, man.
All right, bud. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, Brian.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Boston strong.
Yeah.
All right.
Boy.
Have a good night.
All right, good night.
Later.
Later.
Do people wear that shirt around, Brian?
Yeah, I put that in the chat earlier because you were talking about something related kind of like that. People with like false patriotism, you were kind of getting at that. They do say that. And there are people that I know, they wear those shirts, man. They're blue and they have yellow letters and they say Boston Strong on them. And they do wear them all over the place, man. Even now, after the marathon's all done, people still wear them.
Wow.
Yep.
Are you allowed to make a shirt with your own hometown and have like Strong underneath? Like, can I just
put
Boston Strong and wear it?
I think so. I don't think they got it. The word Strong trademarks.
Yeah, so I could be just a complete brainwashed. You said no agenda. They play that clip. I'm a rule follower. If they say I have to do it, I'll do it.
What the fuck? What is it? You know them bracelets that people wear, like for benefits? Them rubber bracelets?
Right, yeah.
They got Boston Strong bracelets, too. Everybody's got them.
Yeah,
I swear to God, dude. Yeah. They got Boston Strong bracelets, Boston Strong t-shirts, Boston Strong hats, and Boston Strong windbreakers. But the most prevalent are the wristbands and the t-shirts. You see them everywhere. You don't see the other things too often now.
They absolutely have to have the wristbands.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what that means, but, like, I have other friends, you know, they wear that, then they wear the cancer one for October. So you've got two wristbands on, a pink one and a blue one. You know, you look like a fag. What are you doing? Nothing against gay people. I'm just saying. Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
he wears it around Both at the same time, one on each wrist?
Both on one wrist.
Both on one wrist?
Two rubber bracelets, a pink one and a blue one. And then after October, he'll get rid of the pink one and whatever the next thing is. He did the, you know, he was all about the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. And,
oh, man.
These people, yeah, it's what they do, man. They're all about that. They're tagging me in the videos to do it, and they're, like, talking shit to me because I don't want to dump ice over my head, and I don't want to get into the whole thing with them. I just want to leave it alone. Stop tagging me in these videos and challenging me to dump ice on myself. Why don't you just go donate the $100? That'd be a lot more useful than putting a video of yourself up with ice, you sucker.
Yeah, just please don't do that. All right. I don't know. It's like, what's wrong with people? It's like they can't help it. They can't help themselves to follow something
so
like that.
So brainwashed, man. It's so bad. So bad.
I bet you in a city
these
like
people
Boston
don't even or... look into what they donate money to. Do you understand what I'm saying? They'll act they're a hero for donating money, and it'll really be something that I know. Like, they're getting, like, 10% of that money, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? And these people act like, I'm like, do you know that $10 out of your $100 went to the foundation and somebody else pocketed the 90%? Like, why don't you just go give – it's like the other day. I won't donate money. The other day, I seen a bum, right? And there's a lot of them, and I never get bums money, really, but I seen a bum outside, and he was, like, probably 25, and he had a sign that said he was a vet or whatever, and you know me, I'm against the wars, but I support the troops, you know what I mean? Some people can't differentiate that, but I don't want, you know, I feel bad for them, and I know that they tried to do something good on the most part, most of them. They thought they were doing the right thing, and they put their life on the line for what they thought was doing it for me and everybody else. So I definitely respect them. It's not their fault. So I see him. He's got the thing. And I says to him, you know, before we're going to give him any money, I said, you're really a vet? And he said, yeah. I said, well, tell me, you know. I said, what happened, you know? And he's like, well, I was in Afghanistan, and my girlfriend was cheating on me while she was pregnant and while I came home, and then I got thrown out by the cops because we were fighting, and now I'm in a 30-day home in Lawrence, which is the shittiest city around here. I'm in a 30-day home in Lawrence, and when I get out of there, I'm going to be homeless. And I knew he was telling the truth, so I gave him $20, and I made his day. But I would never give it to, like, a charity where the money's not going directly to the people. That's my point of the story. Give it right to the people.
Yeah, you can always find people around.
Yeah,
man.
If you know somebody with the disease, give it right to them. Don't give it to the foundation. Give it right to a homeless person. Give it right to somebody that needs it. Pay somebody's electric bill or something.
Yeah.
Like, give it to this foundation where these people that are running it and the directors and stuff are making, like, $500,000 salaries and shit. Well, how about the Red Cross person? I remember a while ago looking into that. How many millions of dollars does that person make a year? It was, like, astronomical, like over $10 million a year the person makes.
Give it to a family member or something that makes you kind of in a bind or something.
And you don't brag about it. You just do it. Like, I know I just told the story because it's what we were talking about. But, like, they put it up on Facebook and they tag each other in it. You know what I mean? They'll say, well, I donated $100. Just shut up and donate the money if you're going to donate it.
But did,
like,
you dump a bucket of ice on your head before you handed them the 20?
No.
Yeah, you don't have to do that, see? I mean, it's like you stay dry and it's just easy.
I felt bad for him, and I knew he wasn't bullshitting, and I didn't think he was trying to buy alcohol or anything like that with the money. I really thought he needed food or something, and he had all his, like, belongings with him in one huge big backpack that was, like, as tall as him, strapped to his back, and I'm just like, man, I felt bad for the dude, and I know how it is to have your girl cheat on you when she's pregnant. And all that happened to me, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
this guy's off in Afghanistan trying to fight a war, you know, he's our views are way different than what he's told, but he's out there trying to fight for his people or whatever, so he thinks, and he's doing a good thing, and he's putting his life on the line for us. Of course, I have respect for him. I just don't have, you know, any respect for the people calling the shots, and I totally disagree with the reason they're there, but you know that. There's no better way you could respect the troops than to try and keep them safe and keep them out of an unjust war, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't... Yeah.
I'm not trying to say I donate money again. So I'm not saying I'm a hero for giving them $20. Don't anybody think I'm trying to say that because I never donate money. I started off by saying that. That was like the first time I've done that in years. But I gave him a 20 because I felt like he was genuine, you know? And I know he's been – just imagine how much these people are fucked over by the government, you know? We think we have it bad and we think we are subject to brainwashing. Imagine being in the service and the brainwashing you go through, and you can't even do nothing. You can't turn it off. You can't walk away. You can't even go home. You'll go to jail if you quit. You understand? It's going to be awful.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's, well, if you're an officer, like commissioned officer and stuff, you can quit anytime you want. But, yeah, if you're enlisted, you can't quit. It's now, if you're enlisted and you're in boot camp or you're in, I think it's up to 9 months or something, you can, like, you can bail out and they can't do shit about it. But once you're out of your training, that you can't quit. It sucks.
Did you go through it?
No, I was in the Navy for 6 years. From 1988 to 1994. And, yeah, saw the world and got the GI Bill and all that stuff. But, yeah, it was like, I couldn't wait to get out of my hometown. I was just, it's like, oh, yeah, and then so we got talking about something, and then it's like, oh, yeah, next thing you know, talking about going into the Navy. I was going to go on the buddy system with one of my friends from high school. We were talking about it, and then, like, he got into some trouble where he wrecked his mom's car, and then, like, he was like, okay, fuck it. Everything's just not going my way. I'm getting in trouble every time I turn around. So he just, like, went immediately up and went into the Navy and got shipped in, like, within 2 weeks. And he was like here one day and, like, gone the next into the Navy. And then so I was like, wow, man, that's pretty wild. Like, Navy, he's, like, in the Navy. And I got to thinking about it. I said, shit, man, I'm going to join the Navy. Fuck it. So I went down to the recruiting office. I was like 18. And I said, hey, you know, yeah, I was kind of like, I was thinking about, I wanted to be like a draftsman, like get into, graphic design, art, crap like that. I was kind of into that stuff. So I was like, yeah, what do you got as far as that? And they said, well, we got this and that, but you have to wait for 6 months to get into that. And then I said, well, what else you got? And so they said, well, what are you interested in? And I was, like, looking around, trying to think. And then I saw this picture of the aircraft carrier. I said, yeah, I want to go on one of those. What I got to do to that? I said, oh, you want to go on aircraft carrier? Well, yeah, that's no problem. And then about, 6 weeks later, I'm on the USS Carl Vinson in the middle of the Indian Ocean. I mean, I went,
really?
Like, yeah, I mean, I went. I went on this delayed entry program, so it was
did
like.
Did you have something that you specialized in? Like some people mechanics, some people do this, do that. What did you do? Anything special? Or you just like around.
No, you. I went in kind of. What was the deal? I tested, and then like they give you a series of tests, and they say, you qualify for this or that, and it was it's the way I tested. They offered me these different series of jobs or something.
Yeah.
I forget exactly how it went down, but I ended up being an aviation storekeeper, which is working in storerooms, and you get orders for parts for the aircraft mainly because, you know, that whole system of warehouses and stuff that are on the ships, you got to like maintain stock.
That's pretty
and
important
still order
job,
stuff
huh?
Like that.
That's kind of important.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, just a kind of a standard kind of warehouse job. So
have you ever done a show about your experiences there? Like what the brainwashing was like back then, if you picked up on it at all, if it didn't, wasn't so bad, like you ever talk about these things?
I talk about boot camp and stuff. It's just straight up brainwashing. Yeah, they put you shave your head, put you in uniforms, like break down your identity, and you start thinking as a group. They march you in formation, get you thinking as a group. You chant.
They verbally abuse you a lot and shit.
verbally abuse the fuck out of you constantly.
Oh, what the fuck, man? I couldn't deal with that. I really
scream in your face. And
I'd be, what do they do when you're bad? They throw you in the hole type of thing. Like, what?
Yeah,
do you
it's kind of like
fuck up.
What do they call it?
Trauma-based
mind control and all that shit. Yeah, just running your ass ragged. Just riding you hard, putting you away wet.
I'm glad I never signed up, man. I'm glad.
It was like what I kind of like.
Did you see combat?
Nah. I was on an aircraft carrier, so I mean, there was like some bullshit going on with the Persian Gulf. Remember that?
Yeah.
The Gulf War. So I got some kind of bullshit medal. I guess hypothetically, we could have got bombed or I don't know, run into a mine or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but the chances you get hit on a U.S. aircraft carrier probably aren't that good at all.
Nobody was worried about it. I mean, of course. Like, you're on the ship, and then, man, did you hear about, Nostradamus predicted that Carl Vinson's going to sink in the Indian Ocean? It's like, oh, shit, it's Nostradamus.
Oh, yeah, he predicted an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, it just so happens the aircraft carrier that we happen to be
on. Did he tell you what his favorite website was, too, what he was at it?
Well, no, I mean, that's, it's just goofy shit like that that's going on. It's just depending on what ship you on, there's always a Nostradamus rumor, come to find out.
Really?
It's just something that always happens on the ship. Like a rumor will go around. Like rumors will go around. It's funny. It's like you're in a it's really bizarre, man. It's hard to describe what it's like living on an aircraft carrier. You're in a
floating city. Do you feel like these guys have your back? Like you trust these guys? Are you guys like real tight friends because of it, or is it kind of?
It's like working for a really fucked up corporation, like where everything is just like.
Well, that is what you're doing.
Kind of, I mean, it's a bizarre setting. Everything is metal and tubes and wires exposed, and it's like you live in this. I mean, it's total culture shock and bizarre. And then there's 6,000 fucking dudes on there. And it is like...
No chicks?
Yeah, there's some chicks on there. I mean, there's like a couple of squadrons with, of course, like these females come on and they're the, like, every one of them in your mind is like, oh, she's a superstar. Oh, yeah, you're so fine, baby. It's like, okay, I've been at sea for 4 months. Of course she looks good.
Yeah.
But of course. And then you imagine like, okay, what kind of female is going to go into the Navy? Well, she's going to be kind of like...
You're going to have somebody with a fucked up life, probably.
She's going to be somebody that likes shit tons of attention, for one thing. She have to. I mean, because they're going to get...
A girl that'll abuse you and beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah, but they're going to get... no matter what they look like, they're going to get... massive amounts of attention, obviously.
Oh, yeah, dude, they're going to have their picking. I mean, come on now.
But then what are you going to do with that? I mean, let's say you're, like, one of them strikes your fancy, and then, you got some real competition. You got, like, 6,000 dudes on the ship to compete
with. Was there anything good about it? Did you get to train on a lot of cool weapons or anything like that?
I saw a lot of cool shit. I mean, as far as that goes, yeah.
Train on weapons, though? Like, did you shoot?
No, I didn't touch anything. I mean, I got to, shoot a gun and shit. Everybody does that. And then...
how's that work? You guys shoot a lot, like, every day, every week, or...?
No, that was basic training. You shoot a gun, they test you on that, and then they put you in... You do some firefighting, that was kind of cool, and then...
Ooh.
Did you use
blanks and shoot guns at each other? Like scenarios?
No, firefighting, like they catch shit on fire and you gotta...
I think like a firefight, like a gun firefight.
Yeah.
Okay, firefighting, like be a fireman. Okay.
Yeah. And then they put you in a little room and they shut the door and they put like fucking mustard gas or whatever the hell in there. So you get gassed. You get to experience that snot running out of your nose and...
How's the food? Terrible?
The food, because I worked nights, I worked, I did that on the when I was on a couple of tours, I ended up working nights. And so they have what's called NIDRATs, which is like the